What's up, everybody? David Pollack here of See Ball, Get Ball podcast. I hope you like it, man. Be sure to follow the show wherever you subscribe, YouTube, or any of your other platforms. Welcome back into See Ball, Get Ball. I'm David Pollack. Brent Rollins joining me as always. Brent, we took the week off, had a little vacation. Memorial Day, I hope everybody celebrated and honored those that they know that served. What did the Rollins family do, bro?
Oh, well, we had a graduation right before that. So
you got a kid going to college now. How's that feel?
I have a high school graduate and a kid who is going to college and today goes to be a part of the real world with a job.
Oh boy. Are you excited or upset?
No, he's excited. So yeah, my oldest son is now a high school graduate and will be off to college in the fall. So outside of that, it was a lot of just relaxation, getting stuff done around the house. Baseball. We had a baseball tournament this past weekend. So, yeah, normal stuff.
Still playing baseball. Nice.
What last summer of that as well with Cameron.
Which, to let everybody in on this, at See Ball, Get Ball, Brent loves it. Deanna loves it. His wife loves it. Like, they are a baseball-aholic family. They go to all the baseball stadiums across MLB. Like, they – it's not a chore for them. For others, nah. Like – me, it was very much a chore to be a part of baseball and very thankful that we graduated from that part of our lives. But
you had fun with it. You enjoyed it. Don't lie. Now, I will say I don't enjoy driving 85 to 285 to East Cobb and all that area consistently. But other than that,
no. The good thing about that is that's probably where the majority of our listeners come from, is for people that are commuting. You know, like that's – you know, I drove to Panama City. We went to the beach, to Caroline Beach. It was awesome. And it's awesome to just put podcasts in your ear. And so that's what we're here to do, is to talk about college football. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer, Brent.
Like, so speaking of that, yes. let me trivia you on that. How many days until week zero, those games where we got Dublin with Iowa State, Kansas State?
I'm going to guess
72.
Okay.
82 days. So it is right around the quarter, 87 days until the Thursday night with Nebraska Cincinnati, and then 89 days until, to me, the official kickoff of the season with the week one and all the great games that day. There was some fun news, by the way, that happened. A lot of talking, but also some fun stuff while we were away. And one is the David Pollack prediction coming 1,000% spot on true. I feel like you had insider information that you lied about. And the cover of the EA Sports College Football Game, the two different covers were released. And as you predicted back in, I think, March is maybe when we discussed or something of that nature.
Yeah,
Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith were on the main cover. So did you, in fact, have insider information and you just lied to everybody?
I didn't. They're not allowed to give me insider information. I would have taken it. But EA Sports, they're fantastic. I love working with them. It's one of my favorite groups I've worked with. But they are very protective of their game. Like, they don't want things to get out. Like, when the leak got out about the people at the place, like, they were so upset. They take a lot of pride in what they do, which I think is really, really cool. No, but to me, it made the most sense. I think – Jeremiah Smith obviously finished the season with a bang. Again, Ryan Williams started the season last year with a bang. And everybody was 17-year-old. And I'm going to say this now, Brent, and this will catch on throughout the season. I think people look at Jeremiah Smith in a tier of his own in college football, which he's earned the right to be there, to make what he wants. Ryan Williams with a QB that's really, really good is going to be right there close to that tier one. Like, he is that kind of good. You get a guy that on schedule, because he can contort his body better than anybody I've ever seen for going as fast as he goes. He's little. He's more Devontae Smith than he is, you know, big, huge A.J. Brown type like Jeremiah Smith is. But Ryan Williams is a freak show, and he's going to put on a show this college football season.
Yeah, if you're staying in Alabama realm, you would have went, he's more Ryan Devontae Smith than Julio Jones.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was, they had the trailer. Did you see the trailer for it? I thought that's awesome. Like, it gets you excited for the game, which, by the way, the game comes out July 10th. And I wonder if most all the people that get the game now, instead of, hey, let's go to the store and buy it, or I pre-order and it shows up on my doorstep.
Brent,
download. Brent, it's the game gets downloaded.
You're showing your age a little bit, Brent. You don't go to That's the store fine. And buy games anymore. You upload them onto your console. Like you just, it's fantastic. It's now listen, those GameStop days, bro, they were fantastic. When you knew a game was coming out or you could go buy used games, everybody out there that's our age is like, absolutely, I remember that. But now, man, you just upload it onto your software and however fast your internet is, yep. You know, you get to get it that fast. And last year, I remember they pre-ordered them, you know, like a week or a couple weeks in advance and sold millions of pre-orders, which meant millions upon millions of more dollars because the excitement level was through the roof. Listen, here's the cool thing about this game. It changes. It's going to get better every year. Like they just continue to find ways. When we did our voiceover stuff for it, like they're going to continue to find things that they thought that need to improve and we're going to address it. And I think the dynasty modes and there'll be more stuff with trophies and all kinds of cool things that they've added to the game that I think people are going to continue to enjoy.
Georgia's Daniel Harris he was goated and heroed in the game. So at the beginning of it, like the clip is him getting scored on by Williams. And then during the trailer, he's, you know, has the Savage pads, has a pick. So they were picking on him for some reason. And then they also had the deluxe cover, by the way. So we were both right. You were right with the main cover and the two. I was right in terms of my three that I picked. They were on the deluxe cover. Now, granted, I had a lot more chances with that. But Klubnik, Caleb Downs, and Jeremiah Love were in the deluxe one. But a bunch of other, you had Tebow, Reggie Bush, Denard Robinson, coaches, mascots, fans. And kind of Bryce Underwood, too, by the way.
Paying homage to the past, which is kind of cool. Coaches this year being in the game is new. That hasn't been a thing. So that's going to be exciting too. But again, there'll always be little tweaks, man. But yeah, you got that one right. All of your 75 guys you guessed to be on the cover. So
I just kept it to the same format they had a year ago. They had three a year ago, so I said, all right, I'm going to pick three. By the way, the Bryce Underwood thing. I mean, I get that he's a high recruit, and there was a lot of hype around him being there, but I don't know that I'd be cover game type deal, but
did you watch his did you watch the spring game?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I did. I mean, I'm excited to see him. Looks, and by the way, it looked like the trailer clip was almost a very similar type deal from that. But anyway,
well, I'm just saying, like, first impression when you watch him in the spring game was what?
He can play.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he looked like a freshman. He looked like a guy that was learning and that was going to learn. But like, again, the way they do their spring game, everybody does spring games different. Some teams will do drafts. Some teams will be first team, second team. Some teams will set you up for success. Michigan doesn't do like all their best players on his offense. So, you know, you don't work with the same guys, obviously, that you'll be working with during the season. But I thought he was pretty good, but it looked like a kid that was going to take some time. But if I'm a Michigan fan, like what I got last year, like I feel confident he can step in and give me better than what he gave me last year. And
oh yeah,
that's what I think I'd be excited about. The future I think is super, super bright. I don't think he's going to step in and put up huge game breaking numbers week in and week out. I think it's going to take time, just like it takes most kids time. But you can see the big arm. I mean, huge arm, huge arm. Like he can sling it. You can see the little bit of mobility. Obviously, in spring game, you're not running a lot, but I think there's a lot of excitement to be had for Michigan. But I will say, like, I don't think it's going to be right away. Like, I don't think it's going to be game one, game two. I think it's going to take some time and some reps and getting a rhythm, getting the flow, because he'll just get better from spring to practice number one, to practice number 13, to first game.
So what you're saying is people can aggregate you and say that Oklahoma is going to beat Michigan early in the season.
Listen.
I'm teasing.
I don't think that's outside the realm.
No,
by any stretch. Oklahoma, I think, is going to be one of the most improved teams in the country, period. Like, when you get Mateer and you get Arbuckle together, and now Ott at running back, like, if anybody watched Oklahoma's defense last year, you had a lot to like. Like, you had a lot to like. And here's the thing. You know what, Brent? If you told me to pick that game right now, it's a pick 'em. Because I think Oklahoma comes in, is going to come in with more continuity with quarterback and play caller. Oklahoma has the best defensive line in the SEC. Like, I know that for a fact. Like, I've watched those guys. They're inside, if you want to run a football on those defensive tackles, they are a handful. Venables will have them playing. They also play a style. Oklahoma plays, if I was a defensive lineman, which I was, okay, and you're telling me that I could go play in a style, you know what style I want to play in, Britt? I want to play at Oklahoma. Like, I want to penetrate. I want to stunt. I want to move. I don't want a two gap. I want to be in that where I can go make plays, TFLs, get you behind the sticks, man. Like that Oklahoma game versus Michigan, if you think that's an easy game to pick, I would disagree. And I think it's a pick 'em and at worst. And I might even lean Oklahoma because what they have.
Especially you're going to have a couple games. I think that's game three, maybe, if I remember right.
Yeah.
For Michigan, because they suspended their coach for not that game. I think they made it to where he could coach that game. You would have been happy, by the way, with USC's Twitter account. I know you're here for the petty and the trolling. So obviously recently Dan Lanning jumped in the pool with the five-star kid in a very just kind of interesting way when that kid committed, who is now, I think, uncommitted to Oregon. But the five-star tight end, Mark Bowman, committed to USC, and then they did the Ron Burgundy cannonball jumping into a pool on their Twitter feed. I just thought that was funny and something that I know it's you would have enjoyed. Awesome.
It's awesome. These social media teams, man, they deserve a raise, a lot of these squads. Like, they just do such a good job of, like, finding ways. This is our new world, right? Like, this is our ways to troll. This is our way to have some fun, poke some fun. Listen, I wish we weren't all so friendly most of the time in rivalries. I didn't have that back in my day, okay? I mother freaking hated a lot of schools. I didn't want to talk to their players. I didn't want to associate with their players. Now, everybody that goes to camps and stuff, man, they get friendly, and it's just – it's a different world, and I'm always here for the petty. You're right. You said that to start. I'm here for the trolling. I'm here for the taking shots. I'm here for Sherrone Moore shooting arrows across the field at Ryan Day. Like, I'm here for all of that, man. That's what makes this sport so fun, so unique. The fan bases, the history, the bands, all the stuff that is just – it's awesome.
All right, so actual football, kind of. One thing that was while we were away was the seeding, and it's going to be straight seeding this year, at least in the 2025 college football playoff format. So if you look back, so first off, no more of you getting upset when we have the ranking show and this team is ranked 12th, but they're in the four seed business. You were happy about that.
Don't act like that wasn't a rightful way to get upset. Like, I'm sitting there when you do all this work and you love this sport, then you're like, oh, okay. Wait, they're ranked four, but they're a one. What? Like, just make this, like, I'm not very bright. Okay. Like, see ball, get ball defense. This is what we need. It very simplistic. We don't need two sets of numbers on a graphic when you're looking at things. Like, good job. This is not difficult. Seed them for us. Make it easy. Make it all uniformed, and we don't have to get confused.
All right. So we would have had last year, would have had Oregon one, Georgia 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4. Those would have been the four teams with byes. And then your other matchups, 12-5, Clemson, Notre Dame, Boise State, Indiana, Arizona State, Ohio State would have been in the first round, and then SMU, Tennessee. So if seeds would have held, your second round games, your quarterfinal games, Oregon, Indiana, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, Ohio State, and then Penn State, Notre Dame. So we saw two of those, or three of them actually, because Oregon or Georgia and Tennessee played in the regular season. So do you think anything at all gets altered from how the playoff went if the seeding was straight seeding?
I think Oregon would like it a lot better.
I that's the numero uno to me, top of the list, is that their life would have been way better and, you know, got some confidence potentially likely playing game one in a different realm again than versus Ohio State again.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think we're arguing the outcome. Ohio State put it together and was sensational. I mean, they were so good. But I do think that makes a difference, because your first game for Oregon is a win. Now, listen, they played Boise and it was a good game during the season, but they would have been obviously favored. But this is good moving forward. This is rewarding teams that do the best during the regular season, which is what we talk about. Like that's all we have. Like everybody wants to talk about strength of schedule and numbers and metrics that they want to use. Whatever metrics you want to use, like there's still metrics. There's still whatever you want to favor, and you can favor different things and different metrics if you really, really want to. So I think that it's, take the whole regular season, do the best you can for seeding purposes. And then I think you benefit the teams obviously the most with the matchups, and that's not difficult. That's very easy. What was difficult was, okay, if you won a conference championship, you get an automatic bye. That was the part that was difficult. Like now you make it very clean, very easy.
Logic prevailed.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. If we could do more of that at the NCAA, life would be much better for our sport.
Well, we're going to get to the thing that is, I don't know where logic comes into play. We'll get that here in a little bit. But so the SEC had their, I guess, spring the meetings that in Destin, where TV sets up for a week and every coach and athletic director gets to talk to Feinbaum. And
Lane really loves that, doesn't he?
There's like a 4-minute clip of those two just going back and forth. That was awesome.
Lane is so unique, so different. That's why I love him. And I think when he was younger, everybody naturally, like, cause he was so different and polarizing, and he was a different person then. Now, like, I think a lot of Lane, I think he has heard what Feinbaum says, and Feinbaum has been extremely negative, and Feinbaum will attack coaches at an all-time level. Like, and he's not a guy that you're going to look at and go, oh yeah, he knows the game. It's what he's heard. It's what will draw eyeballs. It's what people will react to. And that's, I think it bothers Lane, and Lane's one of the few that will be like, nah, I'm not playing this game. Like, I know I have to do this because of the media rights, because they own them. Yep. But at the same time, kick rocks. And I think that's fantastic. He still fulfills his obligation. He doesn't skip it, but he's not going to sit up there to a guy that, like, you know, character assassinated him and made fun of him. And if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't have to do it. It's fantastic.
Seems like almost a mutual respect there, game and fun that they have with each other now. In terms of actual conversation that came out of it, I thought the biggest thing to me was Kirby being sort of adamant about the portal and saying that there should be one portal window in January, because that's not normally his style. His style is, hey, just give me, typically, what are the rules? Tell me the rules and I'll go live under them and exist around them and try to be, you know, work to my advantage, be competitively and do the best I can within that. But he was actually sort of on the offensive a little bit with some of his comments this past week. And that actually, by the way, brought some C-ball, get-ball attention because we had talked to Dan Mullen back in March, and Dan Mullen said the exact same thing. Hey, just give me my team. Give me one poor window in January. Give me my team. So I put the clip of him talking about that on the show. And then some other outlets kind of said, hey, this is what Dan Mullen said. But anyway, I thought that was interesting from Kirby.
Well, it's got to change. Talking to these staffs and these guys, man, it's a nightmare that they haven't, that their calendar that used to exist in college football was so friendly, like compared to what they are now and what they're asked to do and how they have to recruit their own roster. I think it's interesting that he says January, and he's a team builder. That's what he does. So he has an opinion that I think is obviously what he thinks is best for the sport. I'm just curious why it's not May. Like, I would want to make it May. I'm talking about if I'm building a roster, because if it's January, your roster is going to get pillaged during the season. Hate that. Like, I can't stand that. Like, if it's May, those guys, those young guys get a chance to now go through some spring, you know, get through some off season and other guys are gone, a chance to kind of prove themselves, maybe step into that box, step into a window that didn't exist. And then right there in May, now I kind of understand what my roster is. I've been with those guys for a while. And now I know the holes to fill. I just feel like January, I don't love January because I just don't love the idea of poaching. And I think during a season, you saw last year, people basically committing after the season to go play somewhere else. Like, actually, the season was still going on. Like,
so you saw UNLV's quarterback basically after playing well said, I'm going to the portal. So.
Well, and that was, I think they didn't pay him what he was deserved or what
there was other issues there, but still during the season.
Yeah, there's some business to that, but I just think that you still have some of that flirtation. And again, Kirby knows infinitely more than I do about roster building and what he would like to do. But I just think that May window would make, you know, a lot of sense that you've kind of had a chance to set. Cause here's another thing too. People get hired, people get fired. And a lot of times, man, unless you give it a chance, you really don't know what it might be and what it could become, right? Like,
yeah,
you a lot of times you take off right away and I'm going to follow a coach and half the roster leaves and you got a coach that just took 26 guys. And I think you could change some of that too. It has to be done. It has to go to one window. It has to go there to make these lives easier for everybody that's doing this, to make the commitment stronger for the kids. At some point, we need contracts in this game. Another thing too, I think that would be fantastic. You know, Brent, I told you, I want to offer solutions. So I think solutions, anybody can get in front of a microphone and talk about problems. There's a million problems, right? But I think the interesting thing, I told you, I want a freshman salary cap.
Yeah, we talked about that last time.
Yeah, I want that. But here's another thing too. If you want to add some variance that makes this a little bit more fun, here's how you do the freshman cap. Every team gets X for their freshman. $2 million, $3 million, whatever that number is. Now you do it like a draft. First pick, second pick, third pick, fourth pick, fifth pick, sixth pick. Like, that way you can prioritize.
Or give them freedom to maneuver that number.
There's
some
skill in there, Brent. There's some skill to that. Instead of just you being able to sign everybody at the same number, okay, if somebody prioritizes someone else more and I want to make you the first pick, then I'm going to pay you X, you know? And so I think there's still an evaluation that's really cool. I think it still lends itself to spreading the players out as opposed to them all going to one school. Like,
Because
you can still, you know, file in a bunch of guys to a certain school and build a bunch of depth. Because if you're watching college football right now, Phil or Brent, putting my roster together, like me picking teams now and saying who's going to be great, this is the depth is the worst I've ever seen it. Like, you just go, I know this, but I never used to go to Georgia's roster and depend on freshmen. Never. You didn't do that. You never saw in Alabama's run that you depended on freshmen. Like, you had guys come in after 2 years of redshirting, developing in a program that you stayed. Now they're going to get paid somewhere else. So it's totally different. But I think that rookie salary cap would do a good job of, again, we limit some of this craziness of coming in and getting stuff that you haven't necessarily earned yet, but still slotting and making it where it's still, you have to have a good staff and you have to recruit well and prioritize well.
Concur. I was a little shocked to hear the May comment from you right there, because I mean, just from hearing the coaches talk, hey, if I know my team in January or February, wherever that date, I can now go into spring practice knowing that that's my team and build my team through spring practice, or at least the start of it. Which does, if you went May or if you went to stay within the academic calendar, could you then push all the offseason thing and make it more NFL-like where there's, you know, the OTA pieces and whatnot?
We're already trending that way anyways, right? Like,
why not, right?
Yeah, and the spring ball to me is not – spring ball is not for older kids. Spring ball is all for development. Like, and so yeah. I think I have a chance to – I mean, you could do it after the – whenever you do spring ball in May and you do the last date in May. Like, you kind of went through spring ball, you know exactly what you have. That's kind of what my thought process is. If somebody gets hurt, I know. Like, somebody didn't pan out, I know. But, yeah, like, I think you get more of a realistic term of what your team – yeah, you're gonna lose some guys. I don't think you're going to lose as many impact guys in May. Like, I think those guys – are going to, most of those guys are going to stay on your roster. But I think from a depth standpoint and guys getting an opportunity to go perform and getting an opportunity to go win a spot, like some of these freshmen can go win a spot, as opposed to if I pay somebody money when they come in, it's just like the NFL. When you get paid, like, you're going to play. Yeah. Like, that's just the way it's going to work. Like, there's not going to be, if it's even or close, I'm paying them money. I need a return on my investment.
Yep. And get more chances to fail, things like that.
Yeah.
The other, I think, interesting comment that came out of that, and then we'll see if you had any others, but Kalen DeBoer talked about being left out of the playoff, and his quote was, "You wonder what would have happened if other people would have played our schedule." I wouldn't have went there without, if I was him, I wouldn't have went there.
I love Kalen DeBoer's personality. Like, I think he was a good mix for, I think Alabama's a top 10 team, no doubt about it, to start college football. I don't love this. You know, I'm not going to love this because
you cry me a river. Sorry.
You're Alabama. I would feel a lot more compassion for Alabama if they didn't lose to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. Yeah. Like, you played a tough schedule, 100%. You beat some really good teams. You lost to two very average teams. Like, and Vandy was better. Oklahoma was, like, they were under 500 this season. Like, I'm not going there. I still think he's done a good job retaining his roster. I think their squad's going to be good. Him hiring Grubb was a big deal. We talked about that weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I think it's huge. I think it's enormous. Like, because when I watched Alabama, I just – honestly, I didn't know what I was going to get week to week. Like, and you can say Milrow, but like the passing game and the passing, you know, is that what they're going to hang their hat on? Is it QB run? I just, the identity was kind of up and down, wishy-washy, and I think that can help it. But just, I don't love these comments.
I didn't like it either.
Can make them.
I wouldn't have went there if I was him.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
That's just one for me where you've got to be like, hey, we had our schedule. Our schedules are – and. We didn't do good. We didn't do good enough. We got to be better. Like, that's all you got to say. But anyway, was there anything else interesting from a commentary standpoint with the SEC folks that stood out to you?
No,
if not, we're going to get to the other big topic.
Lane Kiffin's was that on yours?
Well, no, I just.
Did you see Lane Kiffin's
where he said 16 best? So just the 16 best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that naturally you go makes a lot of sense. I think, but Brent, what determines what's best, you know? And I think that's the, like, doing the exercise, like, we did the exercise and we revisited the, what season was that? It was the Texas. Golly, I can't even remember what season we did. I had a different result actually. And we actually had a different result. We had revisionist history too. But like, when you get in a room and you do that exercise and you start going through, you know, common opponents and strength of record and all that stuff, it's more difficult than you think. And that's why you want as many people in that room that have, you know, football experience, that can watch tape, that can that understand rivalries, that understand injuries, all the stuff that goes into it. So I think yeah, 16 best, seed them. That's great. Two byes would be awesome. Now you start playing games. Home games were fantastic. I want to keep home games, you know, intact. I thought that was awesome for the playoffs. But that was another thing, I think, too, that people resonated with. And 16 is the number I think we ultimately get to. It's just a matter of, you know, how soon.
So that was the last thing to talk about, is the playoff format conversation, which, by the way, these meetings very much, like, I'm in academia by day. These meetings very much reminded me of an academic meeting where there's just conversation ad nauseum. And in terms of like actual action steps and things that truly change and happen, it's not much of anything. It's more just conversation to be conversation.
It's like a shrink session.
Yeah, in a way. Yes. So, but the thing that did come out of that is a almost semi-united stance that they didn't want the sort of 4-4-2-2 the multiple automatic qualifier format, and that they're more going to be in support of a 5+11 format, that you, at least in terms of how you see it branded, where it's the five conference or the Power Four conference champions plus the G5 highest ranked G5 champions, so five champions plus 11 at large teams. Is is that what it gets to? Do you think that's where it goes? Because that's 16, obviously. And there's too much dynamic here with the SEC and the Big Ten driving all this. And the
I think that's an easy thing to say. I think that's an easy thing to say when all the stockholders are at the table. But pretty soon the stockholders account for just two people. Like all those shares are going to two people. And the Big Ten and the SEC are going to make their schedules. And listen, they're the best leagues. They're the most powerful leagues. They're making the most money. It makes sense for them to have more automatic qualifiers to me. Like, it makes sense. I mean, the road is more difficult. The teams obviously are better. I mean, you don't have to turn on the NFL draft to figure that out, but look at the NFL draft with the teams. Like, it was head and shoulders, those two leagues dominant. That doesn't mean the ACC doesn't have good teams. The Big 12 doesn't have good teams, but it does mean there's not as many. And there's not as many chances to trip up and to slip up. So I think we'll get back to that. I do. I think there'll be more automatic qualifiers for the SEC, for the Big Ten. And I'm fine with it because I do think their gauntlet is way more difficult than, you know, you talk about people that want to challenge themselves at a conference. And like, if you challenge yourself at a conference and in conference, there's a chance you're going to lose a bunch of games. And if you lose a bunch of games, you're out of it. You're on the outside looking in. And that's not, you know, that's not what you want either. You want those out of conference games that can be really good. So I think it'll change when next year, when the SEC and the Big Ten, they garner all the power, because then they'll make all the decisions.
Yeah. It's an interesting, read a little bit about it. The timing aspect is what's most interesting about it to me, because the SEC has to do their schedule moving forward. And there's certain timelines for their schedule. And it's like, hey, do we go to 9 conference games versus 8? Yep. So there's timing there. Did you see some of the stuff from Brett Murphy was the one that I saw, but they SEC provided a 7-page document to the media showing the quote regular season gauntlet that they face. No other conference has a regular season as grueling as the SEC's. I that was another one of those, like, yeah, everybody kind of knows that. Why do you need to say it? Why do you need to have a press release for it? I don't understand some of this stuff. It's just, well, like, just let it be. Why do we got to live in the media world with all of these things? But it's fine. It gives us stuff to talk about.
It gives us great stuff to talk about. You're right, which is fantastic. But I think everybody has that does this has rabbit ears, and they hear all the things, and they're trying to squash some of the things. But what they don't realize is it doesn't matter. Like, it's just like with us. I could say the nicest things in the history of the world, going back to Oklahoma and Michigan. I can talk about Michigan and how great they are. The moment I say Oklahoma's going to win, you hate Michigan. Like, it's just the way it is. Like, and guess what, Brent? This is another reason why. It's the greatest sport on the planet, and it's not close. It's because the fans are so passionate. Irrational, sometimes angry, sometimes belligerent. Yes, give it all to me. I want it all. I want all of that in this game. And so you're not going to please everybody. It's not going to happen. Let me ask you a question, though, Brent. When you look at the SEC and you look at top to bottom and you look at who you have to play, is there a debate with any conference?
I don't think so.
No.
Like even last year for me, like, Ohio State didn't have to break a sweat until Oregon. Like
the bottom. But, well, Michigan might have something to say about that.
In their schedule. I mean, what was it, 6 or 7 games into the season before they played Oregon?
Yeah.
Versus I can potentially get beat by some of these teams on a week-to-week basis. Now, Nebraska, by the way, might have something to say about that because they challenged, almost beat Ohio State. But I do think the week-to-week part of it, because you're – and it's not so much – here's my general thought about this. College football to me has always been – 6 to 7 teams every year are national championship or bust. After that, it's, you know, everything is kind of difficult. And that's, you know, road versus away. Did you play a big time game the week before and now you got to go on the road to a not as big time game? Injuries matter, weather matter, like all the random things matter after those sort of 6 to 8 teams. But now I think you're getting to where, because of NIL on the transfer portal, the 6 to 8 is a little more, and the gap between 6 to 8 and the rest is not nearly as what it used to be. And
I think
getting a little bit more.
I think it's a lot more than 6 to 8 now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think, so, I mean, we asked Pate when we had to talk to Pate, like, what's your line for the national championship? And the line is seemingly deeper potentially.
But how many years did we go? Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, you're good. Like, for there's a solid 10 years where you're pretty decade. Good. Like, you've encapsulated the national championship. It's like, all right, you got those four, and now you're definitely starting to stretch it. But I don't think that's not an insult to the Big Ten, because the SEC has teams that are beatable every year and that can be beat and that aren't the best of teams. But it's just, you know, with Indiana doing what Indiana did last year, and I think they're going to do it again this year.
Yes.
Like, in the Big Ten having the national champion the last 2 years, that gap the last couple of years is closed tremendously. And the Big Ten, the Big Ten is very much in the mix. Just top to bottom, having those teams week in and week out that you can beat, or I guess the better way to say it is teams that can beat you. Like, Ohio State can play their C game and beat just about everybody on their schedule. Like, almost that's
every year.
That's a fun life to live. But they still obviously are national champions and had a heck of a season. But I do think I don't want to hear you talk about it. I don't need a 7-page document for you defending it.
That's so dumb.
It doesn't do anything for me when I see that. It doesn't go, you know what? I feel really sorry for them. Nope.
All right. Last but not least, does the Pacers Thunder finals do anything for you? Because I know you're a basketball aficionado here.
How does it not do something for you? Like,
I think it's the best basketball matchup.
Listen, if you're going on brands, sure. It's not what you want. It sucks. But if you're going on watching the games, dude, like, this will be the best defensive series and the best effort series you've ever seen. Like, they both, they're going to pick up. They're going to play defense. They're going to get in your shorts. Indiana plays 90 feet of man-to-man defense. I mean, literally, they're going to pick you up the whole time. You know, OKC has four all-defensive guys that are in this league. Like, they are – this is going to be unbelievable. You got superstars on both sides. I know Halliburton, people don't talk about him as much. If you're watching his game, he's unbelievable. Like, he's ridiculous. SGA, obviously, is getting mentioned with Jordan and Kobe and some of those guys for some of the numbers he's putting up too. So I'm all in, bro. I'm going to be sad when the NBA playoffs is gone, because I've loved watching. I'm telling you, man, the physical brand, they've let people hold and they've let people, you know, be physical again. And I enjoy watching the NBA playoffs this year a lot.
One of these days, I think they'll actually make it to where their playoffs are peaking around when in terms of the calendar, right before football starts. It feels like they should own July, but that's just, you know, whatever. I do agree. I'm interested because the Pacers, to me, play like the Steve Nash Suns play. Constant movement, speed, ball movement. Everybody's a threat for the most part to score and shoot a three. Like, that to me, it's enjoyable to watch, especially when the game's up and down like that. That's how that game, to me, is supposed to be played. So,
well, and I like that you know, it's see ball, get ball. We didn't say what kind of ball. Like, basketball, you got to see the ball, you got to get the ball. So we can talk a little bit of everything.
A little bit. But,
yeah.
A little bit. Minimal baseball, a little bit of basketball.
Tiny bit of baseball. Let's not get – we talked about you and we talked about you and the kids liking baseball. That was more than enough. So
more
I hope everybody gets their week started off on the right foot. We will be back Wednesday, and we'll continue our schedule. We don't know what we'll do in the fall yet. If you guys got any suggestions, we might take them, but we're definitely going to be after games again. I think that was some of the most, you know, watch stuff we did, and give you instant analysis, recap why things happened right away. So you can talk about it throughout the week. And
Wednesday, by the way, Wednesday, I'm pretty sure we're confirmed for that for Wednesday. Right. So that's going to be fun. I think we got a nice
Cody little Alexander.
Yes, we had the offensive side on talking to Coach Dan Casey last week or 2 weeks ago. Now we're going to go to the see ball, get ball defensive side,
which is really cool. And hopefully that's something that you appreciate. You know, like, what the trends that are going around college football and the why behind them, and, you know, what to look forward to, kind of projecting into the season of what you'll see defensively. We already did it, like Brent said, offensively. Wednesday, join us. We'll get Cody Alexander, and we'll do the defense.
Awesome. Excited for that.